Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dan.
How's it going? How's your week been, guys? Not a good start, God.
No, it's been alright, I suppose. No facials to speak about this time.
Wait, what about... Oh, no.
I've listened back to our first podcast and I've realised that I'm a very giddy person. Very annoying to listen to. So I'm going to try and tone that down for this.
No, I'll keep turning it up. Be even more giddy.
So did you say that you were some 1975 news this week, Andrew?
There is a 1975, so this is our first ever feature. The 1975 news feature. So, I mean, if you're listening back, this is what happened at this time. So, do you two even know this?
No. Best 1975 fans ever.
Yes, aren't we just? No, I feel like I've seen something on Twitter.
I think so.
And then I clicked on something and nothing happened.
Yeah, basically. So, a website, drivelikeido.com, sprung up midweek. And like the legit, that was literally the URL. And then you went on the website, and it was just all the old like Drive Like I Do song names, just like flickering like on and off, and then the rectangle appearing every now and then. So it looked legit, like the URL was legit. It looked big, and then like the are you going right now?
Yeah,
it's not there.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you must have been taken down. Yeah,
Jamie.
It looked legit, and then. Some like fans were getting hold of it, like, oh my god, the Drive Like I Do album's coming, they're doing a tour. And then some people were getting really into it, saying, like, oh my god, there must be some news coming this Friday. And then Matty basically said, oh yeah, it's fake, it's not us. And then it got taken down.
What a buzzkill.
So I know, so the Drive Like I Do hype was very short lived and not even real.
Yeah. Well,
but that.
I was looking forward to hearing this song, then I've just forgot what it was. Drive Like I Do song, I can't remember what it's called. Crazy Monsters.
Scary Monsters.
Scary Monsters.
Yeah, that's one I wanted to reference.
Yeah, that was one that was like on the
thing. Made an appearance in Waterloo Road.
So did Matt Healy, that I had no idea. Because at that gig the other week, I don't know what song it was, but the guy next to me just goes, yeah, I really like Matt Healy, but all I can think of is Waterloo Road. I was like, what? I had no idea that he was in Waterloo Road.
What are you on about, mate?
I was also in Waterloo Road. Just a bit of trivia there.
I remember this.
Yeah. You can see me on YouTube in the background.
still on YouTube?
Yeah. I searched it the other day. I said the other day. It was about 6 months ago. Waterloo Road's got its own channel on YouTube.
Official?
Yeah. And you can see me on there, and also... someone else that was an extra at the same time as me was Katie McGlynn, who was in Corrie and has recently left.
Oh, right.
She went to Wadd High School just like me. And done.
Not me either.
No.
But yeah, Waterloo Road, if you don't know.
This was website.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got a little excited for this one because I thought it was really funny, so I went to screenshot it, but then accidentally turned the pen on and drew a line.
I thought that was a cool graphical feature.
No, well, thanks, Dad. But yeah, no, that's iPhone pen. Yeah.
Other brands are available.
And that was one. Apparently a huge announcement coming this Friday, according to Ross. Never happened. Unless it has happened and we've just missed it. And we've outed ourselves as fake fans.
I can't imagine any member of 1975 posting that tweet. That's just not something they'd do.
They didn't. Somebody else posted it saying that, oh, this is coming this Friday. So they thought they'd heard something. Or just made it up.
Oh, like he was saying.
For the clout.
The person who tweeted it said, according to Ross.
Oh.
That wasn't Josh saying, according to Ross.
Yeah, no, that isn't the tweet.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, because there's just no way is that any of them four are ever going to be like, big news coming!
Yeah.
The news will happen.
12 p.m. GMT.
Yeah, the news will happen. You'll question about it and they'll go, oh, has it? Didn't know.
Yeah. Or just an Instagram story now saying this has just happened.
Yeah. It's just too cool for school.
Can't wait for that new song to come out, actually, as well. What a reference. Yeah.
If you're too shy.
I can't wait, you know.
Yeah, it's a vibe.
It is. I can't wait for it to come out.
It feels like, do you remember when we got like the Heart Out and Settle Down started leaking on live videos, just like that is now?
Yeah.
And I remember like listening to those live videos, like, whoa, what are these songs? Give them to me.
That'd be like 2000 before that album.
Yeah, just before the album came out. Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
But like that was riffs in like Heart Out. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. I just remember as well at the Deaf Institute, we knew it because we'd listened to these live leaks. We knew the songs, and we were just going mad. And even doing Call and Response, which didn't appear on the album
before release.
Yeah.
That's what it's like now with Too Shy. Like people are singing along. Like I was singing it the other day. Like I've heard it like once. Well, once properly.
It's gonna be huge.
Yeah, it's gonna be massive. Have you listened to anything else good this week? Since this is technically a music podcast. We do sometimes listen to other bands.
Yeah, you know what? I was listening to Jamie T in the gym today, just not listening in ages, and I enjoyed every second of it. Yes. He's a very talented man.
He's a bit of an enigma as well, like disappears.
Yeah, he is.
Lawless new album's been released, which is really good.
As we've already established earlier this week, I'm not cool enough to know who that is.
It's really. I don't know. Dan, do you not know?
It's not even come up in my Discover Weekly. Unless it has, what they're called.
He's Lauv, so it's Lauv. He's like super pop, but he's done a song with Lainey.
Super pop.
I will probably like this.
Yeah, his album's really good. It's like 20 songs, but it's like super pop stuff.
Sick.
But it's like he just like gets pop music, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like because you get a problem where some pop songs now they're just like too like EDM.
Mm.
His are like just straight pop stuff. It's really good.
Sick.
You should check it out.
I saw him on Sunday brunch.
I can't believe he did that.
But I was just waiting for The Simpsons to come on. And I was like, who's this guy?
I love it when pluggers get it wrong. Like, and put people like on the wrong TV shows.
Oh, yeah. I cannot imagine him on Sunday brunch.
I'm sure I remember seeing Sum 41 on Blue Peter. And it was just like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, Derek's like, what the fuck is this?
So, second episode after the, I'm calling it the very successful first.
Yeah, the learning curve.
So yeah, we've got a bit of a better setup, so hopefully the sound is a bit better this week. So yeah, last week we went on about how we actually discovered the band, but as our first official feature of the show, listener interaction, which podcasting websites thought is important. If you're listening, you know, you guys send in your stories about how you discovered the 1975, and if you've met the guys, about, you know, stories about what's happened when you've run into them, let's say. So you can either tweet us at the 1975 pod or search in Pause It Play It, or email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
So you know how email addresses work, it'll be fine.
Everyone's got this covered by now.
Yeah.
In 2020, people should know how email addresses work.
If you're unfamiliar with the format, send us a letter at P.O. Box. Telegram us. Right. Oh, yeah, let's get into it. So, second episode, second EP. This week, we are talking about sex.
Yes, we are. Let's talk about sex, baby. It takes a bit more.
General thoughts on sex, Dan?
It's alright, innit?
Yeah.
So, sex, like, it was a song that we'd heard previously, and we were like, really excited to get it in this like new, like, rawer version when we heard it. It was great. But I think as an EP, it's really nice. I mean, that's like the clear sort of standout highlight to me. But I love you as well. I love Milk.
Thanks.
And then, and then like, the more, like, ethereal sort of the intro and Undo as well. It's just, it's a nice experience. It's a great build towards the album. I think it fits nicely in between. Is it Music for Cars next?
Yeah,
between Face Down and Music for Cars. I just think it's good. I don't know. I enjoyed it. It was very exciting when it came out. I was buzzing.
But
I was surprised it was called Sex. I feel like that's a bit too obvious, you know, considering that is the lead single from the EP and what. Well, it's not what the EP's about, is it? But you know what I mean? It just seems a bit too obvious for them, but, you know, not my art. Leave them to it. I think it's great. It dicks all over Face Down. Face Down, I like it. But come on, the Sex, they've just, even the weirder singles, which aren't Sex on this, are good. The intro is good. It's just, yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I think it might be my favourite one of the four EPs. I know, but I don't want to.
Save that thought until Music for Cars, please.
Declare too soon. Two more to do, but yeah, I think it's my favourite. I think, like you say, it's even the slower, the more like ethereal, ambient ones.
Yeah.
In Intro and Undo, I think they're brilliant, and I think they're a big step up from that kind of stuff in Face Down. Even the songs like Face Down. And then obviously Sex is a phenomenal song, and then You and Milk, like it's, and also this is only the second thing they ever put out as this band to do songs that quality.
Yeah,
I think is, and things like Milk is still played live now.
Looks sick.
Like come on, like a song that was like a bonus track on the second EP, and people like coming to the band and discovering them, 8 years later, are still like vibing hard with this song enough that they're playing it now at their arena shows. They should play more live because it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. To be fair though, according to Wikipedia, Milk is only 2 minutes and 16 seconds. So if you know they've just got a bit of time to kill, you'd just stick it in, wouldn't you?
It's one of those songs.
We're not quite reaching the 90 minutes, lads.
Yeah.
I said, interestingly, Nisha Sangar has a writing credit. I don't know which track. Could probably do a bit of research on this, but a bit lazy. All lyrics are written by Matthew Healy, George Daniel, and Nisha Sangar, and all music is composed by the 1975 Coles and Coles.
Page last edited by Nisha Sangar.
So, release 12th of November 2012, which at time of recording is about 7.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Which doesn't seem like that long ago, but I think in what they've done since, that feels like it would be like, it feels like a long time ago that they'd be releasing something like this.
Feels like a long time ago to me.
I don't know about you.
7.5 years.
I was 22.
Wait.
Yeah.
When that came out, I was 19.
It would seem that was Milk that this Nisha Sangar had the credit on.
Maybe she was the girl with the did a little thing with her eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right, let's get into it song by song. So, first song on Sex, Intro / Set 3. So, you guys were watching them around the time that, you know, they were touring or playing songs live from this EP.
Yes.
Did they play this? Like, did they play this song? Was this the intro to, like, a set, I guess?
I feel like it might have been. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I just remember one time we saw them, and I remember thinking, bloody hell's this? It was just ambience. And I was like, play Sex. And they didn't. Well, they did eventually, but you know what I mean. So it's possible. There's definitely, in the early shows, the ambience going on. But I couldn't tell you what the tracks were.
So was this something that they were playing live, or was this like an intro song that was being played?
I don't think they played this song as you might imagine them like playing it before they came on or whatever.
No.
Yeah.
You're just saying like that ambient style maybe was used like as little interludes or something. But yeah.
I mean, now most of it will be sort of backing tracks, but they will still put in the ambient interlude songs live.
Yeah.
So could this have been like a mid set sort of like transition?
I don't think it would have been. I feel like you can't do that at that stage in your career. People just walk out.
Wow. Yeah, so I think all the more like ethereal, synthy songs, I don't think I heard any of them live, really.
Oh,
would you hear Undo live, or like?
There was definitely something, because I remember thinking, this is not what I signed up for. And that was in the very early days.
Yeah.
When I was just like, when all I knew was Sex, Chocolate, Ghosts, Robbers, possibly something else, but, and I just wanted those players, and I was happy to leave. but no, played some ambiance instead.
So, what, in hearing it on record, what do you think of the song?
It's a stronger opener than the Face Down EP.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, I like the Face Down EP, but as I previously stated, there's dicks all over it. this intro, I feel, just immediately sets you up for a good time. It just builds nicely in a... I mean, I don't know enough about music theory to be confident in this, but this is probably...
this is wrong.
What do you say?
Because this is wrong. You embarrass yourself on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
That's what it's for, right?
I would have said this sounds like it's in a major key, whereas the intro to First Down sounds like a minor key.
Ah, right, okay. We can find that out. I might edit it in, saying if you're correct on it.
Yes.
Come back, it's atonal.
Music theory jokes. There's like two already. Yeah, I agree. I think it's as an intro song, I think it is a bit more, it's more uplifting perhaps than Face Down.
Yeah, that's probably the word I was looking for.
The lyrics are a bit stark, but we'll get to them soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's more, you know, like you're saying, there's, it's got the ambient sounds, but there's something about this that's got more electronic sounds, like electronic vibes to it. It's like another string to the bow almost of something else they can do. Like, I know they've done similar songs in the past, but it's like, okay, we're going to do like a similar song but with different instrumentation. And like you say, the build up to what is coming for the rest of the EP as well, I think, because there are like huge songs on it. I think it's a great intro song.
It reminds me of the sound as well. I don't know what it is about it. I feel like it's got a bit of a similar sort of vibe in the intro of the sound to the intro of this.
And it's the outro. I mean, what I would say, we'll get onto lyrics, but sort of the phrasing of the lyrics in the outro. Well, I thought I'd see you around, but you're dead now. That is a similar phrasing to the chorus of the sound.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's quite as interpolated, thank you, as Face Down and Lost My Head, which is on the second album. But it's a very similar like phrase, and the way it's sang as well is similar. But then, comparatively, this is quite stark, especially at the end of this, compared to like the huge pop, uplifting sort of chorus on the sound.
Yeah, I mean, the lyrics are, aren't they? But like the way it's like, dead now, like it's big, like, and energetic. Yeah. It's not like depressing in that way, but I love the like sampling of his voice.
Oh,
like,
the broken up sort of vocal.
I think that's really cool, and like shows that, you know, like George and Matt's like production.
That's what I mean with like the sort of the more like sort of electronic music kind of like influences in this. Like, you see, like, even now with like pop music, the amount of songs that have, you know, like obvious auto-tune. It's like a stylistic choice, not like a sort of, I'm not going for anyone that uses an auto-tune, Christ, I needed it when I sang, but like, you know what I mean, like a vocoder sound, like sort of the vocal sampling. And this, you know, it's another, we said last week that what they put out on Face Down was like a bold move. I think it's a bold move to do something like that on your second EP. To sort of go for like, okay, we're doing vocal sampling, we're doing like these edits on the vocal, and it's essentially electronically inspired intro song.
Yeah, like say, because you really, what are they like? They're a rock band, right? Maybe if
what genre does it say it is? Alternative rock, indie rock, and shoegaze.
Shoegaze. Never heard of that.
I know. I have heard the 1975 be described as pop noir and guitar and B.
Are they both Matt's tweets?
Yeah. He described himself as that. But yeah, I think that sums it up. Particularly guitar and B.
Guitar and B, you should trademark that, that's a great saying.
Isn't it?
Should we go through the lyrics? So.
Yeah.
Okay, so, so the lyrics, Dan, what are your thoughts?
I think the lyrics to this, they sort of explore like growing up a little bit, don't they? I remember being at that stage where people were having babies and stuff, and there's always like a split in friendship groups, I think, where as people go in different directions. It's only one line, and it really, like, everybody's pushing out babies now and then, but then everybody's pushing as a different, like, message. So it's like the same line, but they just chop babies now off it. and it's like pushing for what I guess the careers are. Pushing for other stuff. So yeah, I think it's like, there's not much, you know, it's only like 6 or 7 lines in the whole song, just repeating over and over. But it's, I think they do a lot with it, and it's cool.
And it's like the sort of like, because everybody's pushing their babies now, it's like the last line of the first verse, but then it's followed up with, in the mornings I was getting high with you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the sort of, you know, the opposing sort of being that age, early 20s, you do have mates and you do know people that are literally like having kids and then starting like settling down. Then you've got mates, or possibly yourself, in the mornings, like first thing they think is, let's get high. And I think sort of definitely at that time in their lives, they would have a friendship group that would be split, I imagine, by those two sort of like lifestyles.
I like the final line. I think it borders on comedy, really. Well, I thought I'd see you around, but you're dead now.
I mean, the way it comes across on that line, I think it I don't know.
Autistic. You're dead now.
Do you realise what you're saying? There's no emotion in it. But is it like you're a dead tick? Like you're just like boring.
Yeah.
I actually suppose you're dead like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like just.
Sorry for the accent.
You're not cool anymore.
You changed my mind now. Because I interpret it as like dead now just means like you're not out because you've got kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, when people have kids, they just like, they're not out every weekend. Like, they used to be, perhaps. So I thought it was like, so I'd see you around, but you're at home with the kids again. You're in bed by 9.
Like the Olympic flame never goes out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that a lot of the songs are really about the lyrics and about Matt's sound and the way he uses like really strong vocab right next to local slang from where he's living, and this song does not many lyrics to it at all. It's more about production and it's more of an electronic song than it is in that way that I think defines a 1975 a little bit more. Oh yeah, you can have that, mate. Sounded good, that, didn't it?
I mean, some of the song can be interpreted as about, you know, reconnecting with a girl it's reading here, but I don't think it's about that. I don't think it's about a specific relationship. I just think it's in general feelings of being that age. It sounds like you said, Dan, it was like a song about one of the facets of growing up.
Yeah,
I think it is entirely about that. I don't think there's anything, I don't think it's being specifically sung to sort of, you know, a romantic interest.
Yeah,
I think it's sung to almost a friend rather than like a romantic.
Yeah, I just think that stage in your life, it is just a bit like sad sometimes, like things are changing, even getting better, but just that act of it being different and what, ah, oh, like you like lose innocence around it, really.
Yeah,
because you're realising, ah, oh shit, we're not going to be like young forever and stuff.
It's hard not to be selfish, I think.
Yeah,
especially like early 20s, late teens, like, you know, if your friend got a kid, your first reaction, perhaps, one of your negative reactions would be like, oh, they're going to have a kid. Well, that's...
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to come out. They're not going to be able to do all the things that they used to do before.
But what about the pub quiz?
The pub quiz? Tuesday night. Right, cool. So, so Undo is the second song on the EP. They seem to have played live... Well, it's still not in continuous rotation, but they've played it once on this tour already. Played it a lot to them. So the first sort of arena shows they've been playing, they've still been playing Undo, so clearly they're pretty fond of this one. Yeah, 2020, played once at Cardiff. So, lucky Cardiff. Matt, thoughts?
For the full song, I'm not going to split it into its individual parts. To me, it reminds me of... like 3, 4am at a party where you're like, oh, I'm ready for home. I'm tired and I need to get home. That is just like the tempo of it, the lyrics, the vibe. To me, that's what it says. Yeah, vibe-wise, as we said, but then you look into the lyrics, I have them in front of me, and it's just confirmed.
Lyrically, there is more a theme of that, you know, twist around the lounge, sun drowns the house. That so feels like you've been at house party that long,
yeah,
the sun's coming up, yeah, we all know that feeling.
And you're ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
It's a great line, isn't it? For the sons, you know, GCC media, but like, it's like a positive symbol usually, isn't it? But for it to drown, like, yeah, you're just like, oh, fuck off, son.
But you do think that, though, like, when, you know, when you're out, and you know, when you've come out of like a bar or a club, and it's obviously it's summer, and it's light, you're just like, oh, am I making the correct choices?
What is life?
And it also seems, with the undo part, it does seem as well as a romance, or at least a sexual theme,
yeah,
running through it, where it is, I want to see you undo it, but you're not mine. So there's a combined tension of, fancy her, but she's got a boyfriend. Also, I've been awake for 18 hours and I need to go to bed.
I think when you're saying, it sounds like there's a girl there that he likes, right? Okay, right, I'll go in there, right? So I interpret this to mean that, like, when he says, I could hear you giving a head, she said, you think we're doing it again, keep dreaming, like, there's probably someone there that he actually did want to be giving head to. Wasn't going to work, so he went elsewhere.
Yeah.
And then, like, afterwards, it's all like everybody knows, and he's like,
Yeah. Is she really going to? Yeah.
And it's
with me after I've done that.
Yeah. It's a great use of that, because the whole song feels like a dream, doesn't it? When you're like, because it's so, like, sluggish and, like, whoa.
Yeah.
And it's like, keep dreaming. Like, and it's.
Yeah.
It's funny because it feels like a dream, but it's like a Manchester thing that you could hear somebody say, keep dreaming, mate.
Yeah,
it adds an element of conversational touch to the lyrics, doesn't it?
Which is like Matt Healy all over, and I think that's like the start of that, maybe. Way more so than a Face Down EP, anyway.
The verse and the chorus are, I think in the verses you're getting more of the feel of the sort of being at a house party, being out, sun coming up, feeling not great, let's say. And then the choruses, you've got more of like the sort of, you know, the stuff with like the sort of the romance, or maybe not romance as such, maybe more,
I'm feeling sexual.
That sums it up perfectly.
Business term.
Yeah, more of that kind of, like, more of them kind of thoughts. And there's definitely, you know, I mean, a lot in the early work, there are drug references throughout. I mean, first verse, stick another pill in my head and go to bed.
Yeah. That is... I was going to pick up on that, and I feel like that would be, like, rather than an ecstasy or a speed pill.
It's Valium, is that?
Yeah, Valium or Tramadol or Cody.
Lil Xan.
Yeah, he wants a downer. He wants to go to bed.
And then second verse, the bombs have run out, call around the town, which, if you go on genius.com, don't want to give away too many insider information.
Industry secrets.
We're getting on with this. But just for clarification, verified this was from the 1975. That's not about actual bombs, that's about running out of drugs at the worst possible time.
Yeah, so, you know what, initially when I was just looking at the lyrics, I didn't clock bombs have run out before Call Around the Town. I was still thinking, oh, poor lad wants to go home. So he's ringing around taxis, checking all the different firms around town. But no, he's looking for a dealer, isn't it?
I think around that age, especially if you're at uni life and then like post-uni life, it makes sense that there would be so many drug references in the song, because, you know, realistically, there is a lot of drugs in your life at not necessarily if you're taking, but I think, you know.
Yeah, there's a great meme, isn't there? I don't know, meme. It's not a meme. There was a cultural reference on the internet somewhere that said, like, the weirdest thing about growing up is you discover that everyone takes coke and cheese is expensive. I think every line in this song you can break down. I think it's lyrically brilliant.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the correct amount of lyricism that my feeble mind can understand.
But it's not long, though, is it? It's not.
No.
You know, they're not like sort of. Oh no, it is. It's 4 minutes long. I thought it feels shorter than that, but that's testament to the song, though. That a 4 minute song, it just breezes by. And even like Dan, you said it's got like that sluggish pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
for, I mean, that's...
It doesn't feel long.
But I think, you know, it's quite... There's a lot of, like, sort of higher register instrumentation in the song that perhaps makes it feel... Like, it feels, like, breezy. But do you know what I mean?
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, it's textured, and it's, like, so you don't get bored. Like, imagine if it was just, like, palm muting through the verse. You'd be like, come on.
But like, yeah, but that, you know, they're not afraid to sort of experiment so soon.
Yeah.
Like that. And I think as well, going from maybe the Drive Like I Do sound, where perhaps in the past they would have been... Hi, Siri. They would have been more... they maybe would have relied more on the traditional guitar sound. It won't go off.
All the your phone's going off now.
Oh, it's mine. Hey, Siri.
Yes?
What's your favourite song by the 1975?
My taste in music is rather unconventional. I doubt you'd like it.
Wow.
He sounds like the standard mosher at school.
That's so boring. What, like, Apple's supposed to put the fun ones, right? Come on.
What would OK Google say?
Let's
find out.
What's your favourite 1975 song? I found this from the web.
Well, the technology hasn't quite delivered as we imagine it would for podcast material.
One thing I really like is I feel like it just covers so many grounds of drugs, partying, but also like what I'm going to deem sexual politics.
That's it. That is what it is.
Yeah, so to me, it's like the protagonist, it might not be Mr. Healy himself, is at a party, it's early morning, he's a bit tired. Probably we should go home, but he's seen a girl that he's possibly had some sexual encounters with in the past. Maybe they've not made it official. I didn't even see when I liked you, so like that moment really has passed. When they should have been working on it, they didn't. Maybe it's all speculative. Now I've not got, Nevi's not got the time. I want to see you undo it, her bra, her dress, her trousers, I don't know. I want to see you, but you're not mine. So in that period, she's moved on, and the politics is at play where they probably do want to have a little hanky-panky. But
a coitus. Get a bit fruity.
Yeah, a bit of coitus, a bit of slap and tickle.
Hobba, hobba. Yeah. Finally, I get to join in.
Such a great reference.
Just his references to not having time as well. I think that's sort of like getting famous now, almost like in a similar vein to So Far It's Alright, sort of just hinting at I'm getting, don't worry about me, like I'm a bit busy now, like you wish you had read it before or whatever. So I just thought that was worth mentioning.
I think that rounds off Undo very nicely. So I mean, like we did with The City last week, next on the track list is the eponymous Sex. We won't go into too much detail with it because we're going to get to Sex when we do the full 1975 album breakdown. We'll do a full episode on each song rather than each EP like we're doing now. So just a quick word on Sex. It's my favourite song. It's still my favourite song. When he introduced me to them, I was like, wow, okay, this is the one. This is the song. I still think that it's my favourite thing they've ever put out so far. So yeah, Matt, thoughts on Sex? The song.
I've got so much to say on Sex, but really it does need to be saved, doesn't it? So I think what I will do is I will talk about my first experiences with the song Sex. And it was the first song that Dan introduced me to, Outside Your House, the original version. I remember the first time I ever saw them support the Cape Race at Sound Control, as I previously mentioned. Matt came outside, spoke to Dan, probably looked me up and down a couple of times. Thought it'd be...
I remember that one.
And their tour van was there. Or maybe it wasn't their tour van. No,
tour van?
They used to at least two of them used to have old Golfs, didn't they?
Yeah, my ones, yeah.
Yeah, and they were parked outside. So I imagine they probably brought the stuff in that, but there was a van. And Dan was like, is that the van then? Is that the van from Sex? I just went, no.
Killed me off.
Certainly did. Did you dirty. But yeah, just at that brink before the success happened. I remember we'd go and see them, as Proust mentioned, and as soon as he put his cap off on the, I can't remember which fret it is anymore.
I want to say it's fifth, you know.
Yeah, I was like, I know what's coming. And yeah. I was like, yes. It's such a tune.
Yeah, it is such a tune.
That's
the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
It is such a tune.
Like I said, I've got so much to say on it and why it's different to any of those stuff that I'm aware of, but you will have to tune in a few weeks' time for what we're going to be doing on the album.
Yeah, it's an absolute anthem. It's the...
anthem is the word.
It's the 1975 song. It was there right from the start on MySpace, and it was like it's undeniable. I just think lyrically it's fucking great, and yeah, so yeah, to be discussed further.
Yeah,
do you reckon when they wrote that song they were just like, guys, we've wrote a fucking tune here, this is objectively a great song?
I don't know, because you hear, yeah I do think that, but I think then the more versions you recorded, it grew and grew, and I think, but we'll get into it.
Yeah,
I don't want to give too
have
much.
Have you ever heard the version that they did outside Manchester Central Library?
Yeah,
it's got a
the acoustic guitar thing. Yeah, I have heard it. But moving swiftly on, so the last track on the EP,
official last,
am I right?
Track.
The official last track. So is You.
All right.
What a great song. What a great pretend closer to the EP as well.
Yeah.
This is definitely, like, obviously earlier in their career, this seems like the big song that they close on, perhaps?
I don't know about that.
Do you not think?
No, but it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
This EP is... I just love it.
I think it's more... It's definitely more a traditional, let's say, indie rock song... In the same vein that Sex is, definitely in comparison to Intro Set 3 and Undo. Yeah, I mean, it starts with just the synth underneath, but there's that huge, sort of really distorted reverb guitar that just does the chords, which is not distorted in the way that, like, metal is, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you've got the really clean guitar coming in the verse, the do-do-do-do, like that.
Beautiful, done, Josh. Great. Thank you. I was about to try it, but I just felt my voice breaking instead.
When do you think we first heard this?
It was. See, we've seen.
Oh, where?
So many times.
Where rather than when, then? Like, what venue?
They all merge into one, don't they? But I remember there was an occasion, it was either when Whitney Houston or Michael Jackson had just died. No, it was, definitely wasn't Michael Jackson.
No, it must have.
It was 100% Whitney Houston just died.
Because,
and he was wearing a Michael Jackson vest.
Yeah. Is it Academy 3?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. And obviously, because this has got a Whitney Houston reference in it,
yeah.
He played it and did a shout out to Whitney.
Yeah, it was. I remember that moment of him going, do you want it? And like the whole, like, they were supporting. That's why I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because when I thought it was Sound Control, that was later on and they were headlining. But they're like, I remember it like. It was sick, like that vibe, like running through like the Academy, like, do you want to dance, do you want to dance? It was like, whoa, what is this?
I think it's probably the best level of production that Academy 3 has ever seen.
For a support band.
Yeah, like when the support bands at Academy 3 turn up, like with 15 MacBooks and all this pre-made music to play in the background, it just doesn't happen.
Maybe back to 2011, but I'll tell you what, now.
Yeah,
you get it.
Yeah, it was sick. I was thinking when I saw him play at Sound Control. All, like, Sound Control was a venue. We spoke about this last time.
Yeah.
It was a venue in the centre of Manchester anyway, small enough that you could basically hire it and fill your mates with it. And it was on this headline tour of Forum. You know, so all the mates are there, and then he's obviously playing songs about them. And I remember them all like pointing at each other and stuff and being like, that's like about you. And in this, when he says, you're going to have to try harder than kissing all of my friends, he pointed at like a particular like girl.
He pointed?
Matt Healy, yeah, 100%. Oh, I remember being like, whoa, no way, it's about you.
The same, do you remember the same called Deaf Institute as well. All these mates, including James Booth, who was filming it, were up on the balcony. Just like you're looking at the stage,
there's
a balcony up on the left. All his mates were up there. The same thing was happening then, but it was just much more clear because you could just look up and see him. Just vibing off each other, going, "Ah, this was about you."
No way.
Yeah.
I've seen the footage from Deaf Institute. Actually, it must be this. It must be the
same. Yeah, black and white stuff.
That's a great venue. Well, with the, you know, musically in the song, there is the build up passes the first chorus, which is uncommon as well.
Yeah.
So like the verse is kind of stripped back. Even the first chorus isn't huge, and then that continues into the second verse.
Yeah, you're waiting like 1.5 minutes. I don't know how many bars or phrases it is in. Probably should have counted. But yeah, it's 1.5 minutes before the drums kick in.
Yeah, which is halfway through the second verse.
You've got the kick, but before it really kicks in, it's like 1:30-something.
It's so ironic.
But it's so uncommon for, it's an indie pop song, let's say, for the drums to come in like that halfway through the second verse.
Yeah, it sounds like it's just going to be a slow, chilled out song, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, I tricked you.
Yeah, well, by the end of the song, it's,
what's going on? Yeah, I remember, like you said, it being anthemic and a great way to like close.
Yeah.
I remember him jumping around with all his mates at Sound Control, like right at the front, and just being like, whoa, I'm seeing this like happen.
Yeah.
It's like they're rocking that ending out. It's like, yes.
And the top line guitar melody doubles, doesn't it? So it's rather than the notes double. It just gives it an extra like kick.
Oh right,
the frequency of the notes double, but the time remains the same.
More music tech chat.
Yeah.
More music theory chat, I should say.
And yeah, that's another thing. George has a nice little tickle on the hi hats. I don't know what point it is, but it's just a. It's like it just gets me every time. Just those small things.
The drumming in this song, he's like, George is a really good drummer, but I feel like this is where it really stands out as technical drum playing. Obviously, it serves the song as well. But I think particularly, I mean, more than perhaps, I mean, we'll get to it in Sex, but I think perhaps more than Sex, this song probably demonstrates how good of a drummer George actually is.
I agree, like, I'm a big fan of, like, pop-punk drumming that's just so out there and hard and stuff, but when I speak to people who, like, actually play drums, and I'm like, do a snare drum, snare fill, they're like, I'm like, you know, get their opinion on what George is like, and like, yeah, you know, he's sick, because a lot of it's so subtle, but like, just so right for what, you know,
the song.
Because
you can have like, you know, like you say, with pop punk drumming, you know, Trey Cool of Green Day, he's a great drummer because his drums fit Green Day so well.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe like the stuff he's playing isn't technically great, but to be a drummer and to be in a band as successful as Green Day, you've got to be doing something right.
Yeah.
And I think George kind of, he's good at both. He's good at serving the song, but he's also good at displaying how technically good he is when the song requires it.
Yeah.
Which I think this one definitely highlights. Yeah, the last thing is all like the whole build up, the bass, when does the bass come in? That's not. But then when it comes into the bridge part, there's like the bass, there's like the gap.
It's just long bass.
Where it's just the bass.
Yeah.
And again, it's that distorted bass sound we were saying that you get in, that you heard on the first EP, is The City, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they're using that sound again, which is subtle. It's not like that over the top, overdriven bass, but it's that really nice sort of like broken up sound, which works so well because that sound is obviously it's a string bass, it's not a synth bass. But then I don't think that it would really fit them at the time to have like a really obviously like picked bass sound.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like perfectly between synth bass and like live band bass.
Yeah.
Does Ross ever pick his bass? I feel like everything he just fingers it.
Yeah.
Like me in high school.
Yeah.
I don't think
Sex has got to be picked. Surely.
I think he'd be the sort of bassist who would take offence.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he fingers everything.
I don't know. I think he. What about like people though? That's got
to
be a pick.
To be fair, I've not given that much of a listen.
Shit, I'm going to have to be like newer albums, we're going to have to like listen to when we get there.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
I reckon People is picked. I reckon Sex is picked.
Nah, Sex is picked. I'm not having it.
Yeah, I reckon it is, you know.
It's too soft.
Picks are soft.
Yeah, picks are very. Picks are good for staccato.
Yeah, but.
I don't feel like. Sex is smooth.
Name me your sex tape. No. So, like, lyrically for the song.
I think it's brilliant again. Just this EP, I think it's got some fantastic lyrics, really emotive, and you can like it tells a story. You're a liar, at least all of your friends are, which I like. That it's like, oh, like he's kind of second guessing the statement and giving you a caveat, but so am I, we're all human, just typically drowned in my car, don't know what that means. Probably stoned.
I think he said that the song was about sort of a relationship he had that affected all his friendship group.
Oh, okay.
And I think that it comes out like, it's my party, I'll cry till the end. That to me, that is probably definitely autobiographical lyric, that all his mates have been out on Sunday night, it's been the house party, and then there's been some blow off, there's been some argument between him and this girl, and then it's just affected everyone's mood.
Yeah.
And it has ruined the night.
That You're a Liar is just, you can just feel the drama, do you know, that must have like gone on for him to just, you know.
But then, like, what?
The anger that goes into saying that at the start of a song.
At the start of a song, that's it. That's the opening line.
Yeah. I suppose, as well, actually, that you're a liar, at least all of your friends are. Maybe that's like a statement has been made, and it's either you're lying or all of your friends are lying.
Yeah.
The line, you must try harder than kissing all my friends. That's brilliant.
That is brilliant, but then, like, in the next verse, you've got, it's not my fault that I fucked everybody here.
Which, again, is brilliant.
Yeah, it's a great line, but it's like, it's almost like, you know, alright, yeah, you kiss my friends, well.
Yeah.
I fucked everybody here.
And I can imagine him saying that as well, with, like, anger.
Yeah.
But also, Just an innocence, maybe, is that a correct word? But like, definite, it's not my fault I fucked everybody here. Like, I cannot help that I'm incredibly charming and girls want to look at my penis. But
that's so different to how we'd want to come across now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then for the bridges, you know, that's out there as well. The Do You Wanna Dance, Do You Wanna Dance. I remember, Matt, when we were watching them once and they were playing this, and you went over to me and went, get ready for the Whitney Houston reference.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Where were we? Was it the arena?
Nah, Apollo?
Yes. Yeah, it would have been the Apollo.
Yeah. It's a sick vibe in it, because it's the way. Because it's such a pop song, obviously, with the Whitney Houston song. So I think to drop it into like.
Yeah.
It really says like where his references are coming from, do you know what I mean? And
it is the reference, but it's not a subtle reference.
At all, no.
Which I think is quite strange for them.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a really on the nose kind of like, it's almost, the lyrics are basically taken exactly from the Whitney Houston song.
Yeah.
And even like some of the phrasing, it's not too dissimilar to the Whitney Houston song.
Yeah.
But it's in the Whitney Houston song, it is a sexual reference, really, isn't it? I want to feel the heat of somebody.
Yeah.
So maybe that, you know, he's clearly a Whitney fan.
I thought she was back from the dead then.
Why buy some cocaine? So he's obviously a Whitney fan that he's included it in there, but also, does it fit the theme of the song? That there's probably a betrayal in there, a failed relationship. You know, he wants to feel the heat of somebody, or does he not?
So do you think when he sings the part of the song, he's not just referencing Whitney in the song, but he's just referencing the lyrics of that entire song?
Yeah, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I feel like...
We have created a podcast about the band, you know, we've given quite a lot of credit so far.
I feel like the point of the reference is what isn't said, rather than what is said.
And then once we get there, we drop back into the massive chorus. And then just the way it builds up to the end, it's like a double chorus. Well, it's more than a double chorus. And then, musically it steps up. I think you get the guitar underneath. And then his vocal steps up massively when he's screaming almost. Yeah, it takes a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, so for you and like final thoughts on you as a song.
I love it. I feel like a recurring theme. It's great. But... I just feel like it's a bit of a fuck you. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes more than you to get me down, bitch.
The lyrics are personal. The specific references to where is it, is my pie, I'll cry to the end, stuff like that. But I think musically this song, I think it's so good. And the build, the way it drops out in the bridge and then comes back in for the chorus, the last chorus... the huge vocal at the end, I think it's just it's a demonstration of what they were capable of.
I think any other band, this probably might have been their ultimate defining song.
Yeah.
And it's only because of 1975 we've got even better ones that it isn't.
Yeah. I think looking at it, I think this... that's going to be a bold claim. It's definitely one of my favourite non-album songs, let's say. Obviously not including like Sex, The City, stuff like that. I think one of the next EP might be vying for that position as number one favourite non-album song. But we'll get to that.
Trailfold.
So yeah, that is the last song on Sex.
Just a minute.
So we're going to take a 26-minute pause now and then get back into... So yeah, obviously, hidden song, Milk. Watching.
It is.
So why? First of all, why do you think they had a hidden song, a hidden track on the EP?
I have no idea. I think it's very 90s. I know for certain Five had a hidden track hidden in the same manner on one of their albums. So I just feel like it's a bit.
Yeah, the Subways have done it.
Yeah, but
Newfound Glory did it.
What?
They're all our references. Newfound Glory, Five.
And the Subway. But I don't understand why you would do it in 2012 or 2011 when it came out, when you're not hiding that song. People have got it in iTunes or Spotify or whatever, and they just go, oh, it's 20, 30 minutes long, this. I wonder what's at the end. Whereas when you had it on a CD, such as Five, it was like... the album would have finished and you'd have just turned it off. You probably would have to have fallen asleep listening to it and then been woken up by the hidden track. So I don't understand why it was hidden.
I've nearly crashed my car because of this song. Like, the news just finished and I've just been like thinking to myself or daydreaming or whatever, and then all of a sudden like it kicked in.
I think the reason I can think is it just adds to the mystery, perhaps, is that if they're releasing this, people are obviously hyped after the first release. They're like, here we go, another EP, another 4-track EP. They get the hard copy, 4 songs on the back, put it in, and like you say, it will have been the iTunes era, and they'll be like, oh my god, just a minute, this song is like however many minutes long. And then like, to get the bonus content, that could be the only reason, I think. But yeah, why? But it's that thing as well, like, maybe, I think Danny said last week, about they release the ones that you don't expect to be released first.
Yeah.
Which seems like a backwards move for a band to do. Or they, with the EPs, like you say, you just wanted the bangers on, you like, 4 bangers on the first EP. It might be a move like that. It might be like, you wouldn't expect a band who is trying to make it bigger to do a move like this.
Yeah, it's more like Sex, isn't it? It's that sort of high-paced rock music, and it's a bit different to the EP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost like hinting, perhaps, at like, well, this is more of what you can expect.
Have we even said what we think of Milk? Because it is so good. It's such a tune. It is. Still in the live rotation at the moment as well. And what is it, 2 minutes, 12 seconds?
Yeah, so 16 seconds.
Oh, 4 seconds out. I'll never be forgiven.
And produced as well by the Coles brothers from Little Comets. So they used to tour with Little Comets in the early days. There's a song by Little Comets whose name I have just forgotten, but Matt Healy appears in the video. Me and Dan are in the video in a very far background, if you pause it a millisecond.
If you pause it, play it.
Because we, the Little Comets video, what's it called? Worry. The video for Worry.
Well done, mate. Where did you pull that from? Yeah, it is Worry.
The 1975, back when they were Big Sleep or something, supported Little Comets on that tour, and Adam did the lighting for him, or the sound. I remember him being at the rig.
Yeah, it was.
For the video for Worry, Matt Healy, there's a shot of Matt Healy going...
You're just like singing along. Yeah, you're
right. Yeah, I can't remember what line it is, but he's singing along, and at that point, me and Dan will be somewhere in the background in the audience.
Well, 15 minutes, claim to fame.
Yeah, well, I think Worsley Road is a great thank you.
So what we've learned today is that all over television and all over YouTube in 2011, you could find Matt and Dan.
Yes. Yeah. Mine and Matt Healy's paths have crossed several times.
And there was a time we were on Match of the Day in about 2006, whatever.
Yeah, those were the days. lyrically, obviously, no hiding it.
No.
Quite a clear drug reference. Straight lines, they unwind you. So this lady in question likes to take cocaine to wind herself down. She does a little thing with her eyes that says, "We're off soon."
That might be my favourite line.
Yeah, I love that line.
It in the song, for sure. But apparently it's so good because that's so...
You can see it. You can do what she did with her eyes. Like,
you can see it, and it's that's so conversational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just that we're off soon, you know? Like, you can just imagine the amount of ways someone could say that.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. That is so good.
Yeah. She says the bleeding is incidental because she's so cool. Is that cool to me? Like, it says that she's probably a bit tapped.
I'm no fun if I've only had a bottle of wine.
Yeah, see again.
Is that cool? Someone that needs more than a bottle of wine to be fun?
Yeah, I mean, you know, anything helps, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, there's a few lines like that throughout the songs, isn't there? Because she's... We all agree, and she's saying you've not got any coke, so you're no fun.
No, I think she's saying, well, the exact line is, "I'm no fun if I've only a bottle of wine." So she's saying, I can't have fun with just alcohol. I need cocaine too.
I think it's clearly about someone it's so in excess.
Yeah,
like not like more than a bottle of wine for her to consider herself fun, and then clearly like straight lines, they unwind you. She's doing coke to unwind.
Yeah.
You know, that is someone. That's a, you know.
I bet she's got stale in conversation. she would be that girl at a party. You're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, you never guess he just walked in. Oh, God, don't make... Oh, shit, she's seen me.
But then, like, you know, you take it to the line, the bleeding's incidental, which is clearly, it's a nosebleed from taking too much coke.
Yeah. Too much like Colombian marching powder.
And then like the second verse, she does a little bit on the sly that shows what she's up to. You know, it's just like the whole thing is basically just like drug and references and just like getting on in references.
Yeah.
But they're so like the perfect, the so real examples that he's concisely summed up in a line.
They're so subtle really, but
a little bit on the sly, like, you know, that's... They're all huddled around a bag with a key. You know exactly what it is.
she thinks she's a Ford.
the lyrics are just... I love them because, like you say, they're so subtle. There's not many of them, but every line, every word is absolutely vital to building the whole meaning. It won't mend your heart if it's only a couple of lines. Ah, come on, Matt.
This is going to go a bit of a geeky level, I think, from the structure of the song. Is the chorus, yes, she's doing it all the time, is that actually a chorus or is it a refrain? Because, stay tuned, people. If it's a refrain, that means the song structure is AA, like a traditional folk song, whereas if it's a chorus, it's ABAB, like a pop song.
Well... That's why you subscribe.
The more you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, musically with the song, I think it's the same cop out all the way through, which is insane for a song to just do that. And then, you know, musically, what interests you is the fact that the way that builds.
Yeah,
and then
it just gets bigger.
It just gets bigger to the end. You know, the coda, the end of the song, the outro. It's just repeating the line. Yes, she's doing it all the time, but the music is just repeating. It's just doing the same thing, but it's so enticing, and it's the way that it has built throughout the song, and even like, I mean, they're still playing this. They're still playing a. I know they released it as a single later on after the EPs, but they're still playing a hidden track off an EP from 2012 live now. Like, why do you think that is? Why do you think they're still playing it so much?
I think it was like almost like a cult hit because they did release it on its own eventually.
Yeah,
with its own.
I think it's 17 or something.
Yeah, so it's. I guess once they realise how popular it is, it's like, why not capitalise on that?
Yeah, yeah. It's clearly an appetite for it. Yeah. People want to hear it.
But that's. I find that weird that they don't play The City, but they play this.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear The City, I think.
Would you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'd rather hear this.
I would.
Would, yeah. TV1. Yeah. This is Democracy.
Democracy Manifest.
Nice.
That's a reference to a popular YouTube video for those at home.
Right, so that is all five songs. So, final thoughts on the EP?
I think it's a great build towards first album. It's better than the last one, but you still feel like there's a little bit of holding back ready to be released on like Music for Cars. Then obviously the album really hits you in the face. First time we get to hear the proper version of Sex, it just works. The plan is coming together.
I think, and this is a bold claim, but I just feel like it's a masterpiece of an EP.
Yeah,
start to finish,
no, I agree.
It's just brilliant. I feel like as a complete package, it is better than the album, the 1975.
Wow.
Because I just feel like there's, obviously I like the album, but I feel like there are peaks and troughs in there of some songs I like more.
Yeah,
than
I understand what you mean.
Whereas this, I just think, is a complete 10 out of 10 from start to finish.
Yeah, I think listening back now doing this, it's made me realise how much I like it. And I think we mentioned about them not putting all their eggs in one basket at the start with the first EP, and they haven't done it on this yet. I still feel like every track on it is a banger, despite them. And like Dan said, they still had a lot left. They had a lot of, like, the plan was there, they knew it was coming. They hadn't released Chocolate by this point.
Yeah.
And I feel like they knew that was going to be a hit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's loads to it. You've got your ambient songs, you've got your rock songs, you've got your hidden track in Milk, you've got your anthem, like You, you've got the weird electronic stuff, and like in Undo. I agree, I think the EP's, I think it's the best one. I do think it's the best one. There's loads to it, and it did leave you wanting the next one.
Yeah. Ear teasing bastards.
Right, so that is episode 2 complete. It's just me and Matt here now. Dan's left us.
He has, yeah. Got a bigger fish to fry.
This is the post-Dan outro.
Yeah, it is. He's got a wife, you see. needs to keep in the good books.
We're not married, so we're here.
No, but I am getting married. So I'll be in the same situation.
So next year she'll just be me?
Yeah, maybe.
Right, so we've got Face Down is done. Sex is done. Me and Matt have just done Sex.
Yes, we have.
We've recorded a podcast too. Next up is Music for Cars.
Great name.
Oh, yeah.
And it is. It sums it up so well.
Yeah.
It is music to drive to.
Yeah. A lot of the early stuff, I think, is that music to drive to.
Yeah.
I've spent many, possibly days at this point of my life driving around the M60 listening to this band. That's a Manchester Motorway reference for those local.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening again. If you could subscribe to the podcast, that really helps us out. Give us a like and give us a follow on social media. You can get in touch with us on Twitter by searching the 1975 pod or searching Pause It Play It. You can email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com and send in your stories as well about how you discovered the band, if you've met the band, and then sort of your memories and your thoughts about when you first discovered them, you know, listening to them for the first time and what you thought, and then how you think they've progressed since then. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Let's talk about sex, baby.